Well, we had a really neat problem just moments ago, which was part of my tardiness to worship. We have these handouts each time we do these, and I printed 50, and we ran out. So Bonnie ran away to get some more, and y'all don't let Bonnie leave this room with my keys. She still has my keys, so I need all of your help. It's us against her. Bill has them. Scratch that, but still keep an eye on her, okay? Anyway, on the back of the kid sheets, and we've printed a special group of these for the youth group, but on the back of that, we're introducing a brand new character, and that's little Caleb. And I'm appreciative to ChatGPT for making things like this possible. This is the important kind of ministry work that we like to do around here at Henderson. So Caleb says hi to all of us. I did not get his permission to do this. Have you ever had a teacher who just helped to explain so much to you, who helped you understand something that maybe you'd been wanting to understand for a very long time? That passage that Will just read for us from Matthew 7 kind of teaches that Jesus was like that. At the end of it all, in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, it says that when they heard the things that he said, they all marveled. They were amazed. And they said, "This guy doesn't teach like any other teacher that we've ever heard." And part of that was because they said, "He speaks with authority. We can tell that he fully believes everything he teaches, but that he also embodies." That means that he really lives the stuff that he teaches. He teaches with authority and not like the scribes. What's amazing about that statement is the scribes were the people who were the religious teachers of the time. They were kind of like the equivalent of the church leaders today. And yet Jesus stood out even among all of them. As we study the life of Jesus, we've looked at his birth. In fact, we looked at who Jesus was before his birth, because Jesus is God. And so before he was born, he's always existed as God. In fact, he's part of the creating of this world. And then we've seen his birth, how he grew. We saw that he obeyed God by being baptized. He said to fulfill all righteousness. And now we begin to look at what we call his ministry, which just means the time that he was on earth where he was serving God and doing God's will. And of course, a part of that is that Jesus taught. Now, the majority of the first four books of our New Testament that we call the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the teachings of Jesus. It'd be pretty impossible for any preacher to get up and to try and tell you every single thing that Jesus ever taught. And even if I could, we don't know every single thing that Jesus ever said. We don't even know every single thing that Jesus ever did. Because John tells us at the end of John, in John chapter 20, that there are a lot of other things that Jesus did that are not written here. In fact, he says that he supposes there aren't enough books in the world to hold all the things that Jesus said and did while he was here on earth. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, his teaching ministry, the time when he was on earth and doing things, going about teaching and performing miracles, was only probably about 3 years. It's amazing the things that the Lord did. So what I want us to do is to study one of the most famous sermons that Jesus ever gave, and that is the Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And what we're going to do tonight is just sort of go through, not the whole thing, but we're going to skip around in different places, and I want to preach a message that really hits our young people tonight. And let's let the kiddos listen to sort of a summary of what Jesus was teaching. Because the reality is, when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, and the reason why Matthew puts it right up here at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right here at almost the beginning of his book of the Bible that we know Matthew, there are 28 chapters, and this is chapter 5, is because this sermon really is Jesus saying, "Here's what I'm all about. This is who I want you, my people to be." So, you've got some blanks there on your papers if you're following along that way, and little Caleb's there to guide you along the way. And we're going to look at four things that Jesus teaches us from the Sermon on the Mount. All right, Here we go. Remember, the blanks are the answers that are in red on the screen. Number one, Jesus taught us to live with a new heart. A new heart. Now, you probably know this, but when the Bible talks about your heart, most of the time it's not talking about the organ that pumps the blood through your body. You know, if you put your hand over your chest on the left-hand side, you can feel your heart pumping. That's not the kind of heart we're talking about. A new heart means Jesus teaches us how to think like Christians are supposed to think. He wants us to think a special way, a way that he lays out for us in Scripture. So we begin in Matthew 5, and we look at the first 12 verses. Matthew 5, 1 through 12, and these are what we call the Beatitudes. That's just a big old long word. And the Beatitudes are these series of statements that teach us, Jesus is teaching us, hey, do you want to live a good life? Here's how you do it. And that's not just a good life because somebody said so. That's a good life because Jesus said so. He speaks with authority. In fact, he's the Son of God. So what is it? How does Jesus want me to think? How does he want you to think? The answer may surprise us all. Because he begins in Matthew 5, verse 3, by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And he goes on with several others. And I'm reading this, and first of all, I'm thinking, some of these words I wasn't expecting to read right here. Blessed are those who mourn. You know, mourn means I'm sad, I'm crying. And then I understand what it means to be hungry and thirsty, but blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's sort of an interesting thing to say. And then I remember, Jesus is giving us the ways to think in his kingdom. And his kingdom's not of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. So Jesus is teaching us how to have a new heart, your Bible heart, which is kind of your mind and kind of like the center of everything, you know, where everything comes from. And he's teaching me, if I want to be a Christian-minded person, if I want to think like Jesus, here's how you do it. So when he says, blessed are those who are poor, he doesn't mean like, well, like me right now, your pockets are totally empty. You know, there's nothing there. Bonnie took all, everything I had, okay? He means poor in spirit. And poor in spirit means, basically, I have the attitude that says, God, I can't do this without you. I need God. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn. Which doesn't just mean that God, it doesn't mean God wants you to cry. God doesn't want you to be unhappy. He wants you to be happy. So when he talks about blessed are those who mourn, he means when I first say, God, I can't do this without you. But then as I grow up and I start learning what sin is and how sin separates me from God and sin hurts God and sin hurts my relationship with God, well, that makes me kind of sad. Blessed are those who mourn, who are sorrowful, who are sad because they hurt God, because they did things that God says we're not supposed to do. And then, blessed are the meek. Now, that's a word that we just may not use very often. Meek. But you know what it means? It's a neat word. It means strength under control. So, have you ever, like, been playing Hot Wheels and you're running those little cars across maybe a hardwood floor? So, I mean, they can really go fast. And sometimes you can take that little car. You're not using a track or anything. It's just all over the floor. And you take it and you just sling it. And wherever it goes is where it goes. And you don't really know where it's going to go until you sling it away. And it usually goes underneath the couch. Right, parents? That's the only place Hot Wheels ever go. Legos, those things are out in the middle of the floor. They're never under anything because you can step on them that way. But Hot Wheels always go under the nearest piece of furniture, and usually the piece of furniture you haven't cleaned underneath in 10 years. Okay, that's how that goes. Anyway, but if you take that Hot Wheels car, and instead of just slinging it wherever, you're really careful, and you sort of lean back a few times, one, two, three, and you try and make it go a straight line. Now, it's not just going wherever it wants to go. It's going straight toward a goal. Think about meekness kind of like that. You could just run around crazy all the time. You could just go around doing whatever you want. But that's not really what God wants you to do, is it? Because, see, Jesus says the people who live the best life are the people who first say, God, I can't do my life without you. And who, in realizing that, will say, oh no, I've done things that hurt God. And so, God, I want to be meek. I want to bring all the strength that you've given me under control so that instead of just going wherever, I go the direction that you want me to go. That's meekness. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, but for righteousness. Now, righteousness means right living, doing the right thing, which basically is what God tells me in His Word. So it's not just blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, though God does meet our needs, right? Isn't that why we pray before we eat? We're thanking God for the food He gives. But here He's talking about spiritual food. And I'm hungry because I want to know more about God's Word. So we just sang songs where we were saying, I'm listening, hark, listen up to the gentle voice of Jesus. I want to hear His voice from the words of Scripture. Blessed are the pure, or rather the merciful. Mercy means I want to treat another person with kindness and compassion. Blessed are those who treat other people in a nice way. Blessed are the pure in heart, people who think good thoughts, not mean or unkind or negative thoughts. Blessed are the peacemakers, people who, Jesus says, are willing to help other people to get along with each other. I want to get along with other people, and I want other people around me to get along together, to make peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, sometimes there are people over here who are trying to live this kind of good life, but there are others over here, and they don't love God, and they're not hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and they may try and make life really hard for someone like us who's trying to live the right life. And Jesus said, that's okay when that happens. And then, blessed are you when people mistreat you. Rejoice, He says, because your reward in heaven is going to be great. Jesus teaches us to be kind even when others aren't, to choose peace over fighting, to want to do the right thing even when it's really hard. And all of that is Jesus teaching you and me how to have a new, good heart. So which kind of heart do you think Jesus wants us to have? The sad face. I don't know what these lines are coming down here on the side. Anyway, I think that's supposed to mean like he's angry. But here's this angry heart. And on this other side, we've got a heart and there's a smiley face and an olive branch representing peace. Maybe we could represent it like this. Check this out. Which one of these pictures do you think is a picture of someone whose heart is the way Jesus wants them to be? Y'all know anybody like this who makes these kind of faces? It's not very pretty, is it? But on the other side, we've got nice smiling faces, and they're getting along together. Things are going really well. Isn't that neat? See, when you look in the mirror, or when someone asks you to think about your life, what does your heart look like? Do you have a heart like the heart Jesus teaches us to have? Okay, number two. Jesus not only taught us to live with a new heart, He also teaches us to shine for God. To shine for God. The good that we do help other people to see God in us. So perhaps you know this famous section of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is up on a big hilltop, you can't hide that. And people don't light a lamp and then put it underneath a basket. They put it up on a lampstand so that it can shine brightly and give light to everyone in the house. And then he says in verse 16, let your light so shine. So you're supposed to shine brightly, just like the city on a hill. Just like a lamp that you put up on a lampstand rather than underneath something to hide its light. You shine in a bright way that others will see your good works and that will glorify God in heaven. You know, your light can shine at home. Your light can shine at camp. Your light can shine if you're at VBS or if you're at daycare. Your light can shine at school when it's time to get back to that kind of stuff. Your light can certainly shine here in our church services. And you can shine your light by helping someone, by forgiving someone, by being honest with someone. These are great ways that you and I can allow our lights to shine. The pew packers wanted to know what was in my box. I told them that's where I keep my pet spider, but that wasn't true. All right. I was just joking. What is in my box here is, well, can't you tell? I've got it right here. It's right here in my box. Oh, I know why. Because for it to be effective, I have to take it out. Right? If my light is going to shine, I can't keep it hidden. I've got to bring it out so that other people can see. I'm sorry if I'm blinding y'all. These are really bright lights, aren't they? Kids on the front row are like, ah, wow. Now you know how I feel up here. Anyway, we have to let our lights shine. And see, if sometimes I may be tempted to hide my light. And you might not ever even know that I have a light to shine. I mean, it's here and the light is even turned on. But see, I've put it away so that you can't see it. And just because someone isn't shining their light doesn't mean they don't have a light to shine. It just means that they may feel a little scared. And Jesus says, no, don't be that way. You need to be like a city. Have you ever been driving at nighttime and you're in between places? And you're maybe on a little country road, but off in the distance you can start to see some lights. And you think, is that the sunset? No, it's way too late for the sunset. It's way too soon before sunrise. That's not what that is. Those are the lights of the next city that's coming. And you can't miss it. Jesus says, I want you to be like that. Hold that light up high and let it shine. Back last year when we did this, we're not going to do this tonight. Don't worry up there, AV booth. But last year, we turned off all the lights in here and we turned on our cell phone lights and we sang, this little light of mine. But tonight, I wanted to show you, do you see what happens if I put these away? It doesn't mean they're not there. It just means I'm not using them. I'm not letting my light shine. Jesus teaches us to let it shine. You don't have to be ashamed of doing good things. You don't have to be worried about what other people are going to think of you because you know that when your light is shining, Jesus is pleased. You're thinking with that new heart. You're thinking the way that Jesus wants us to think. Jesus teaches us in the second place to let our light shine. All right, here's number three. He teaches us to love everyone. To love everyone. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, some people teach that you shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy. Now, if you think about it, if there's somebody who's being mean to you, well, I didn't do anything to make them be mean to me. Wouldn't it be easy just to hate those people? Or at least to say, I never want to see those people ever again. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and even pray for the people who are mean to you, who mistreat you. And by doing that, you act like children of God. That's really different from what the world teaches. But Jesus doesn't teach the way that anybody else does. Jesus is the master teacher. It's easy to love your friends. It's harder to love people who are mean to you. But Jesus teaches us to do both. All right, here's the last one, number four. Jesus teaches us to trust and obey God. Trust and obey God. For this one, we're going to skip all the way to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Will read it for us, verses 24 through 27. Did you know that the wise man and the foolish man are in the Sermon on the Mount? So you already know about the wise man and foolish man. You probably sang about them last week at VBS. Some of you might have sung about them this morning in Sunday school. I don't know. So you got your hammers, right? You sing the song. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man, thank you, youth group, built his house on the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. Here's the way Jesus taught it in the sermon. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll tell you who he's like. He's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It stood firm because it was founded on, or it means it was built on, a rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I tell you who he's like. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and the foolish man's house went splat, right? That's not exactly the way Jesus said it, but it was something like that. The foolish man's house fell, and great was its fall. Did you notice what Jesus said about the wise man and the foolish man? What makes the wise man wise? Was it that he heard Jesus' message? No, that's not the difference between the wise man and the foolish man. Because Jesus said, whoever hears is like the wise and the foolish. What made them different was not whether each of them heard. It was which one obeyed. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. But whoever heard these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. All right, so you know about sand, right? If you go to the beach or somewhere else where there's sand and you start walking around, you look back behind you and your footprints are there in the sand. Same way with like mud, you know, or loose dirt. You look back and you see your own footprints there. But if you walk on top of a rock, a big boulder, you look back, you're not going to see anything back there behind you. Because the surface of the rock is harder than those individual grains of sand. And as you move on top of that sand, some of the sand beneath you kind of shifts around and it makes that footprint down under there. Now imagine, you get a whole bunch of water. You know how sand gets when you get water all over it? I'm not talking about that cool sand where you pick it up and when you take it out of the water, it's back to dry again. Y'all know, y'all seen that stuff? That stuff blows my mind, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Okay, I'm talking about regular old normal kind of sand, okay? And you get that stuff wet and you pick it up and it's just all muddy and stuff. You make some pretty cool looking sandcastles that way. But anyway, it's not something that's very stable. In fact, if you make the best sandcastle in the whole wide world and you put it right there by the water's edge, after a little while that tide comes in and those waves start coming, and you come back in a few hours and where's that sandcastle? I don't know, but it's not here. You know, it's been washed away. But now just imagine that instead of something like that, let's say that you knew how to carve a castle out of solid stone. And so you take a chisel and a hammer and you start carving away at that castle and you make a beautiful castle out of rock. And you put it right there and it's big and it's heavy and the wave comes in. You put it in the same spot. And when the tide goes out, I imagine if it's big enough, that stone castle would still be there. If it's not there, it's going to be somewhere else intact, but that's not the point tonight. All right. You know, when it rains a lot, especially if you live in a house or in your yard has a whole lot of trees, and it rains a whole lot, boy, the wind starts blowing, those trees start falling down. Because the dirt beneath them, that foundation can give way, those trees start tumbling. That's what Jesus is talking about. But what he's doing isn't just talking about the right and the wrong way to build a house. He's talking about how you build the house of your life. He's teaching us to listen to his words and obey him. Because when we do, it's kind of like, not really, but what he's doing is helping us to learn. That's how you stand on a firm foundation. That's how you know that when storms start coming in, maybe there's not real thunder and lightning, maybe you're not getting wet by water, but he just means when hard things happen in your life. You know what? If the Lord lets you live long enough, hard things will happen in your life. What are you going to do? You want to be a wise man who's built his house on a rock so that when the storms of your life come through, you stand strong. Doesn't matter how hard the wind blows. Doesn't matter how high the floods rise. You'll stand strong because you trust and obey God. In Matthew chapter 6, also the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't be anxious. You know, when you feel nervous before you do something new, or maybe you feel nervous before you do something that you don't like to do. Here's one. You got a doctor appointment tomorrow. I think they're going to have to prick your finger. Oh, isn't that the worst? Don't you hate it when they come pricking your finger? Why do they squeeze it so hard before they do it, you know? And why do they use like the sharpest needle they can find? It just seems like they're really going after that. I apologize to any phlebotomists in the room. All right, why do they do that? I guess they have to. But boy, the whole night before, I'm thinking, I really don't want to do this. And Jesus looks at us in Matthew 6, also in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, don't be anxious about that. In fact, don't be anxious about anything. He goes on to say that if you'll trust in God, it won't take the things away. You still have to go to the doctor and get your finger pricked. But what it will do is allow you to trust in him and to know that God knows everything you need. See, Jesus is teaching us some important lessons. It's no wonder that when he was finished, everybody was amazed. They said, that was the greatest sermon I have ever heard. And do you know what? Even to this day, there has not been a better teacher. There's not been anyone who's delivered better sermons than Jesus. Than Jesus. And that's why when I get up here, I want to talk about Jesus as much as possible. And that's why I'm so proud of you for studying his life with me this year. Because Jesus, he's God's son. And he, as God's son, came to earth to teach you and me how to get close to God. Aren't you grateful for that? Jesus didn't just talk, though. He lived it. He showed us through his life how to live the kind of life that he wants us to live. And when we listen and obey him, we become more and more like him. So let me give you a challenge. Let Jesus shape your heart. Let him encourage you to shine your light, to show your love, to put your trust in God. And if you'll do that, you will have a wonderful, happy life. Maybe there's somebody in this room, and you're hearing this message, and you're thinking, that's what's missing in my life. It's Jesus. Or, I used to be living that life, but I got away from Jesus. And tonight, the pieces of my life, the broken pieces, are here as proof that I've gotten away from him. Do you know that if you come to Jesus, he will help you put all the pieces back the way they're supposed to be? He'll erase the consequences of your past, and he'll help you to live a happy life. If you're alive, then it is still possible for you to know and to enjoy a happy life in Jesus. And so we're going to sing this song, And if you need to come forward, giving your life to Him, dedicating yourself to pursuing His kind of happiness, then we'll be here for you.